Welcome to A Chat in the Garden, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, actually, I'm kind of sitting out in the garden today. I'm at Quails Way Stays, LLC. And I don't know if you can hear the birds chirping, but that's where I am. I'm sitting in the garden. Well, I actually plan on having my next retreat. So it's in Central Virginia. It's about an hour from the Richmond Airport, an hour from Newport News Airport, and an hour from Norfolk Airport. But it's a great place to actually do that retreat. And so I'm looking forward to hosting my next set of clients. We usually do this in Williamsburg at the timeshare. But guess what? This looks just like that, exactly like that. So if you are interested in being in the garden at Quails Way, let me know. Email me, Monique A.J. Smith at seedsofempowerment.info. It's truly a getaway at Quail Way Stage. We really need to use the resources that we have here in the garden because they are things that we really need. And as I'm thinking about all of the, I don't know how to say it anymore than with the discourse. We really do need to train our folks about how to support our teams. And there is a lot of trash talking in sports, but somehow or another, we've taken it across the line, and it takes training. And that's why I am 1,000% supporting Ava Amaker, her education and risk management consulting, because she owns the Village Safety Training Center. And it's one thing to have a manual, but it's another thing to put it in practice. So she calls it policy to practice. The center has the following. First responder training. Man, I'm put a pin right there. Virginia State had to pause their football game because they had a resident walking on campus with a rifle. I think it was a high-powered rifle. Let's put it like that. We don't mean like the rifle you go hunting with. If you're from the country, you know what I mean. They had it as a backpack and just walking around campus. Luckily, somebody spotted it and took a picture of it. Because I'm at the Hampton football game, and a family friend, daughter, who was on the volleyball team at Virginia State, she said they had to, she said council to pause the football game. And my mind straight went to administration, and my heart went out to them. Because, you know, are you prepared? Let's just say, if that happened on your campus, how would you communicate? What would you do? Now, I do know, even at Hampton, we have something called a PIN. And everyone has it's automatically text. And I think that's the whole purpose of it because, you know, usually everybody has a phone on their body. But what are we doing? So the reason I said that is because I remember being in a seating with Ava, and she was talking about, so if you have a disturbance doing an athletic event and your walkie-talkies don't work, What are your hand signals? I said, your hand signals? She says, you get on the highest platform so your staff can see your hands and be able to communicate with them, you know, how to get the people out. I was like, oh. When I tell you, that's why I'm just so glad about the resources we have here in the garden. Because things I hadn't even thought about, had not been trained on. You know, got a master's degree, but did I learn that? No. So, again, they have first responder training, sport and event staff certification. That's the people that wear the yellow jackets. Would you say event staff? Or we got orange or neon, green or something. And it might not be your full-time employees, but they still need to be trained. Things such as that. Workspace safety and personal training and operations. You really need to let her do an assessment to see where your needs are and come do this training. Almost every week I'm bringing you something that goes like, hey, do you have this from policy to practice? That's the thing. And so check out her website at Vigilance, VigilanceSTC.com. VigilanceSTC.com. The Seawall Foundation is offering media training for your student athletes. With name, image, and likeness on deck, this is so important. And not just for our college students, but for our high school and AAU, because they're taking to the mic, y'all, on the Instagram, on the Twitter, on the TikTok. They need to be trained, people. Yeah. And again, if you don't train them, they're going to be trained by the masses. And are you okay with that? So if this is something that you're interested in, contact seawallfoundation.org. Again, info@seawallfoundation.org to email to find out how to gain access to the media training for your student athletes. I like to say we want to prepare our players for lights, camera, action so we don't have sorry Miss Jackson moments. Yes, yes, yes. Athletic identity. Oh, my goodness. This is someone that really takes her experiences and put it into print and preparing for the next generation. Zee Butler has a book called 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, resource for parents, athletes, administration, and coaches. And I usually do read an excerpt from that, but since I'm not at my usual location, I can't do that today. But I will say it was a great short read. It's broken down by 25 points, and then she has halftime. She's got a little bit more than 25 points because she's got some other headings. But the point is you can use the book to have engagement with your student athletes. You can have them read maybe no more. Some pages are 1 to 2, some are about 3 to 4, and have them tell you their reflections upon that. Because I'm here to tell you today, I did a workshop for institutions. Says I want you to do a workshop for my coaches to try to keep their student athletes from going into the portal. Well, I don't have a crystal ball. Let me first say that. But I will say kids, young people in general, will stick with you if they know you care about them more than what you can do for them. And how you do that, you get a chance to know what makes them tick. And not just when you have the whistle in between your teeth. It is, you know, what's important to them, how things reflect upon them. And you'd be surprised the kind of information you will get to assist them in all of their doings, whether it be athletic, academically, or their future. I teach race and gender in sports. And I have about 30 people in my class, and our first activity is to tell me the first time you realized you were different. And this is, I want to say, about fourth year I've taught this class, and throughout the class, I can't understand why a child responds a certain way. Because I remember what they told me that first day of class. It tells me how they see the world. because your experiences shape how you respond to things. Now, when you become older and wiser, you realize I need to know exactly why I'm responding. I say take the automatic off and go manual to be really aware about your responses. But until they learn that, they're responding. It's like muscle memory, protection. So this book right here is about identity. When they come into your campus, especially if they're freshmen, they're just trying to find their way. You know, they were the star where they came from, and now they got to start all over again. That's pretty difficult. So when you're going through difficult things, people put on their defense. So you use the book to try to open that up. And, hey, I would say encourage your coaches to use this resource. And well, get the copy of the book so you can see what I mean. So to do that, go to payamp.com/theballcode, okay? The ball, T-H-E-B-A-L-L-C-O-D-E. Payamp.com/theballcode. And also, she has another book called The Mental State of Sports, which really stemmed from her conversation at the Black Student Athlete Summit. So, again, she's a great resource. And I think you'll be really pleased with it. Aisha Ford is another resource that we have in the garden. Success is My Major is the title of the book. And this is a young lady, not even 30, number one. Number two, she is in athletic administration. And, she, you know, I'm just really proud that she's an entrepreneur at the same time. And the book is first class. It is first class. It is like a professional development book, like a John Maxwell book. For real, for real. And I believe in it so much. I invest in the book. And when I speak to middle school kids, this is what I give them. Yes. Not even my own book. I use somebody else's book. And so I'm 1,000% supporting. And what's interesting is that she, her title does say, From Entitlement to Empowering. So the whole point is, again, our young people don't know how to communicate because they have their head in their phone or they are talking and playing games with the people on the video game. And their communication skills are a little flawed. And so, again, when you become the man or the woman, and then you drop down a notch, a couple of notches when you come to college, you kind of go like, wait, you don't know me? Like, I'm a star. You need to recognize. And that's called entitlement. And they don't know that they have a hard time taking correction. You know, why are you talking to me like that? And it's like you can't reach them. And so that was her. And something clicked in her. I think it was a leadership class. And it said, you know, when you work on yourself, you can get people to see you differently, number one. And number two, when you help yourself, when you concentrate on you, you become a better team player. And, man, if we had more Aisha Ford, oh, my God. Yeah, so I 1,000 times 10 support this. She actually has a master class too as well. But for right now, I'm just saying go get this book. Go to successmajorbook.com. Successmajorbook.com. And you will not be disappointed. Tonight at 6 p.m., the Meet the Contributors Facebook Live is back. And tonight I am talking with Coach Hood. All mechanics are done under the hood. Love it. Love it. She's in the latest magazine, the fourth issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. And I have to be very honest with you. I was so ecstatic about the transformation that I saw on her in the process of writing her article. It's funny. Like, I can see something for somebody before they can see it. And I told her, I said, you got it. You got it. And after several revisions, man, she was like, I could just hear the smile on her face. So I want to see her smile tonight and come join us in Facebook Live within our private Facebook group, chatinthegarden.com on Facebook. And I want to just give a shout-out again to Coach Rich, the head coach at Temple University for women's basketball, who was on my live last week. And you can still go catch that inside the Chat in the Garden Facebook group. And excited because she invited me down to Temple for a game. And so when I got off the Facebook Live, I looked on my calendar. You know, I live by my calendar. And so I'm looking to come to Philly in December after classes end. So if you're interested in coming and sitting with me, let me know. And if you're interested, two things. If you're interested in reading about Coach Rich and her specialized knowledge about winning, a winning culture, if you're interested about all this mechanics are done under the hood, you know, you need to go get the magazine. And how you do that, you go to payhip.com/seeds of empowerment. payhip.com/seeds of empowerment. And if you're interested in being in the next, I got one spot left. I got one spot left because I set a number of people for my designer for the magazine. And so, can't go over that. So I got one spot left. And if you're interested in snagging that one spot, email me at MoniqueAJSmith@seedsofempowerment.org. Take that back. MoniqueAJSmith@seedsofempowerment.info. And grab that one spot. And my last commercial is Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. Tawana Smith has been a longtime sponsor of the podcast and a former client. And, take that back. She's still the media partner. And I was ecstatic to introduce her to the NFL. And the NFL purchased her book for all of the attendees of Celebration Bowl, I want to say in 2019. And so, again, if you don't take my word for it, the NFL purchased a book for all the attendees, participants in the Celebration Bowl. So you need to have this book on your shelf, especially with Name, Image, and Likeness and the financial piece. That's the part that's kind of missing. We talk about the branding of the young people. We need to talk about the finances because that's what's going to hit them. That's what's going to hit them, especially with even these free items, we still got to pay taxes on them, and they might not have the money to do so. So that's what the curse is all about. You up here all excited about what you got, but don't understand responsibilities come with that. And I'm going to tell you, Uncle Sam going to get his, okay? All right, so Biden might have hold some cushions up for Fannie Mae's and all the aunts and uncles. But Uncle Sam, he going to get his. So we got to teach him that. This book actually helps you start the conversation about don't be the curse being the financial piece. These kids want this money right now, but they got to understand some responsibilities come with it. So the Surviving the Life of the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse is available on Amazon in three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. Go get your copy today. I'm excited to talk to someone I've known for quite some time now, and excited to be able to showcase her on this platform. Marsha Kelly, Director of Athletics at Drexel University, the first Black woman to lead Division I athletics program in Philadelphia. Welcome to the Garden, Marsha.
Good morning, Monique. Thank you so much for having me.
Girl, it has been, I don't know how long I've known you, but I just feel like I've just known you all this time, and I'm just excited about sharing your journey with everyone here. So let's just start with that. Let's start from college to now.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think probably, if I recall, we met back at a Division II outdoor track and field when I was working with the NCAA. So it has been, it's been for sure over a decade now that I've known of you and have appreciated all that you do to create a community and of support for athletics administrators and our community. So thank you for that. My journey actually began where I sit today here in Philadelphia, born a native of Philadelphia and had the opportunity to pursue a sport of track and field, and really created access for me, access into opportunities as it relates to education and professional access, and was an undergrad at St. Joseph's University, another Philadelphia institution, and had tremendous coaches, administrators, faculty members that showed me an investment in myself as so much more than a student athlete, but as a person, and it really drove my interest in pursuing being in higher ed, and being in higher ed and athletics, where I could, at least in my mind, remain young and serve young people, student athletes who are pursuing the pinnacle of their athletics achievements, academics, and then just growing as people. And so I quick got on a pathway of entering athletics administration. I was getting my degree at Temple, so glad to hear that you spoke to Coach Rich, and I'm going to put it out there that when you're in Philadelphia, I hope you make your way south on Broad Street and then west on Market to come see the Drexel Dragons, but we love to have you here too. Yeah, so that's an invite. So let's coordinate those dates. But yeah, so I got my master's at Temple, and so as I was teaching right out of undergrad after my collegiate athletic career and then a degree as a history major, I went into the classroom for 4 years at a local Catholic elementary school, middle school, and then was getting my master's at Temple. So I've got deep Philadelphia roots, and then went on to enter the athletics administration space through student athlete development and academic advising. So did a short tour at Vanderbilt University, and then had a chance to answer a calling to come back east to Rutgers University. And then where we met was when I was working at the NCAA out in Indianapolis doing championships. And so tremendous experience and exposure to folks there. And then got back to campus through kind of a circuitous route back here to Philadelphia. But my 11-year stop at Bucknell University, which is a tremendous institution in central Pennsylvania, members of the Patriot League, and then had the chance to pursue and be named the director of athletics here in my home city and at a institution that is on the rise. I would argue probably one of the premier institutions as far as it relates to growth in the last 20 years here at Drexel University. It has transformed the Philadelphia skyline, but also what it offers in the way of undergraduate and graduate experiences for young people. So I'm just thrilled to settle on that similar trajectory here in our athletics department and the 500 Dragons we serve. So that's the quick tour of the Maisha Kelly professional trajectory here.
Well, you're absolutely right. I do have a deep dive into the word pursue. But before I do that, I do want to talk about Drexler just for a second. I went to Drexler, 2015. They had a sports management symposium kind of thing, and it was great. It was really, but it was in the academic side. And so I had a little taste of Drexler, and I was really impressed with that, because I want to say that was before a lot of institutions were really embracing sports management majors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I can agree that they are on the top curve. So you get my endorsement there.
Great. Yeah, that was probably with our LeBeau College of Business has a sports business major, and it's it is one that we're certainly proud of, and athletics is happy to be able to partner with the professionals and the students out of, in that space.
That's what I figured. That's why I threw it out there. I figured you all kind of partner. Now, do they have a grad program as well?
They do. Yep, they have. They do have graduate programs. They're, Drexel has 15 different colleges and programs, and then they also, within that, have offerings, robust offerings in the graduate space. We are one of the few remaining co-op institutions, and so with the co-op, our students are getting the opportunity to test drive a career through their undergraduate degrees, and so that is something where they have this chance to get involved, even as undergrads, and through a cooperative experience in the space. And then their graduate students, of course, they have the opportunity to do different things as it relates to their academic, the structure of their academic curriculum as well.
Well, again, we just gave a wonderful commercial for Drexel. All right. So let's go back for a second. So when you said that you wanted to, you had opportunity to pursue, how did you know it was your time to go get that seat?
Yeah, it's a great question. I have often said that my career was never about had to be an AD. I think oftentimes you hear that messaging that's kind of like the ultimate stop, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
or trajectory folks head on. I was always happy just being in a position where I could feel like I was making an impact, where I could be heard and seen as a leader and impact the student-athlete experience. As I shared, 11 years at Bucknell, I had two different directors of athletics and really got exposed to a lot of different things internal to the operation, and then a little bit in my last year or so there, it was external. And so I started, in my mind, thinking about, and there was a lot of calls that I would get from search firms, and geography mattered to me as well as, and perhaps even more so, the values of the institution, and did it align with mine, and was it a place where I could see myself and my family. And I started to just, it became the natural thought process that I was ready to pursue some of those, and I wasn't going to miss out on fighting for a chance to come home. And so I think between where my mental state became and feeling a confidence and a space of, it's almost, I say that there's a trigger. As a practitioner, you're doing and your day is consumed with the work and the productivity of answering things and doing the work. And my mind just started to do the flip, that trigger, the flip of your mind, and starting to think bigger, broader about strategically what are the things and the ways that you would approach your work and how it impacts a larger organization. And I've become really my brain and the way that I thought about the work really shifted. And I think that's where I was able to not only reconcile within my own head and thinking about my trajectory and having conversations with my partner in that, that I was ready to pursue an athletic director position, and so this was the right one. Certainly being offered the job, but it really worked out for me and my family, and us being able to. My husband's not too far out of Philadelphia, and it really worked out. And again, like I said, the values and what Drexel embodies as an institution, and the opportunity and what we can pursue as an athletics enterprise were all things that drove my excitement and keep my engine revved up even as I sit here today a year later.
That's good, because most of the time, again, when I have clients that come to me, actually I had a young lady who was listening to the podcast with Coach Rich, and I was sharing about my executive coaching. And so she contacted me this week, and basically, it was like, can you get me this job? And I was like, honey, I can't get you anywhere. I don't have a crystal ball. All I can do is build your confidence up so that when you go for an interview, that's you, you know? So to hear you say that you tripped your mind and you flipped your mind, that's where it all starts. And so just so that you can help those who are listening, how do you deal with, have you ever dealt with the monster of lack of confidence, and how did you flip that to get you where you want to be?
Yeah, I think I've gone through what I think would I have heard some would argue as something we do as women, where we have to check all these boxes. You see a job description and you get asked about pursuing a position, and if there's 10 different things on the list of responsibilities and you've only done 7, you don't think that you're qualified for it, right? So I have lived in that space, and that's where I think I was fortunate enough to be given opportunity where I could start checking more of those boxes. And so I don't know that it was a conscious, I don't have the confidence. Certainly one could characterize it as that. It was, I don't know that I was thought that I had enough preparation. And so I put myself through that litmus test of, could I do all these responsibilities? I think, you know, I often joke that I'm a mom of 2 kids and I can carry 10 grocery bags in the house, right? So I'm fighting to be able to just juggle life. And I really, I put myself through that when I was thinking about these opportunities in search firms, and you start to make some connections and you get into their thought process as far as when they're thinking about individuals for jobs. I turned down a lot of, I'm not going to pursue something because of that. And so can certainly characterize it as lack of confidence. For me, it was about preparation and wanting to feel confident. I wanted to be able to, and this is not the first, I don't want to not be transparent, this is not the first athletic director job I applied for. I applied for 2 other jobs prior to getting this one. This one certainly feels incredibly right. And so my path and the plan for me, I'm really a fortunate one where it worked out. But I think it's really, I wanted to be able to, and I think this is perhaps why I was successful, is I could sit in the room and naturally tell the story. I could naturally talk about how I was prepared, what this opportunity means to me. I don't think I ever started even thinking about, I did a couple of different executive institutes. I've done the one with women leaders. I was at NCAA Pathways, and long time ago, was a member of a rock star class, NCAA Leadership Institute for Ethnic Minority Females. But which shout out to them, because I think we're all doing just tremendous things. So my college coach always said, you're known by the company you keep. I'm glad to be in that company. But I could get in there and I could tell the narrative about what my vision was and why the values of who I am and how they fit into the institution. And it's almost like instincts. You got natural instincts, and then there are just some instincts that come through practice or come through growth. And that's what I experienced in, you know, almost 20-year career prior to, quote, taking the chair.
And that's exactly what the magazine is does. You know, for those who want to use it, I say it's an expert marketing piece. Because when you go through the process of work with me to figure out what it is that you do, which intellectual property, what is something that you've done and where you've been and you can do, it flows. Because you've actually written it down, and it becomes something that just comes flowing out of you. For some people, you need that activity. It's just like any company, you know. You know McDonald's. It's like you know McDonald's, and you can hear, when you see the logo, you hear the music, you know. So when somebody sees a person's name, they should see their theme, their whatever, what they're known for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where the confidence comes in. You said preparation. That was good. I really loved that. So I got another question, and you said it quite often, and I really want to expound upon that, because some of your colleagues need to know this. Let's talk about being a mom and how you do this beyond carrying 10 bags of groceries.
Oh, I do it. You know, I hope I'm doing it well. I don't know that I'll see that end product here for another 15 years or so. So, you know, we'll see if I really can have two good, positive individuals entering communities here after they get out of their educational careers. But, look, I am not only am I a mom of two, but I married a track coach. And for those of you familiar with the sport of track and field, it is not only are the meets some of the longest out there as far as competition, but it's also a year-round sport. And so we really had, even in central Pennsylvania, a good core of people who could help us with our kids. To me, athletics administration and any job that I've been a part of, particularly when I returned to campus at Bucknell and even here now, it's a lifestyle. This is when I was at St. Joe's, I always remembered the our associate AD for compliance and the head women's basketball coach, who were both females. Their kids were always running around the building, and I thought, gosh, that's incredible. How fortunate are these children to be around these young, influential, and for them, superstars, right? Like they're tall, they're big, they're athletic, and doing all these amazing things. And so always in the back of my mind thought that that would be an incredible environment when I was ready and blessed to be able to have a family. And so it has been a network. It has been a circle of people to support that, and also being at institutions and now leading one where it's an acceptable way of life, and we want to embrace a family environment. We want to have an ecosystem where it's not just about our student athletes, but it's also about ourselves as professionals and the families that support us. I'm also home. So for me, I've got grandma 15 minutes away, and that is a that's a tremendous help for us as well.
Well, you know, we're all happy and grinning and talking about this, but what do you say to the woman who has an institution that has a policy that says your children can't be here because it's a liability, they can't travel with you? What do you say to them?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, so I understand what I'm getting ready to say perhaps is easier said than executed or done. And I referenced needing to be at an institution that aligned with my values. And so I think as we go about our professional careers, and certainly, listen, many of us, myself and included, have to work, right? We need income to support ourselves or our families. And so that's where I say this is, you know, perhaps easier said than done. But we have to also consider quality of life and our way of life. And so that's where making sure that as you take these jobs, you do that analysis. And if you're in a position and your life circumstances change, then certainly you've got to give consideration to that and how that impacts your presence in that space. I think that I think being really clear about what is acceptable from just expectations of yourself as an employee, but then, you know, certainly let that open that up to your family circumstances and what, you know, and of course, right, we're evolving into a more flexible work environment, but really having to do that analysis on, is this the best fit for me and how can I negotiate being here and still being able to be the things that I want to be to my children. I personally have not experienced that. I would say the NCAA was not an organization where, and I didn't have children at the time, it wasn't as if children weren't accepted, it just was a much more corporate-like environment. But so I didn't have to deal with one whether or not, if my kids had a half day, could I bring them to work, and what was that, what were going to be the optics or the acceptance of that? I think we've got to ask ourselves that question as far as if our circumstances become that, we need to feel comfortable at work and manage our children and making sure our employer can find ways to help support that. It is critical. This is a quality of life. These jobs, can be great jobs. And any job you do, whether it's in athletics administration or outside of, you always want to be looking about how are they invested in you and how they value you as an employee as you navigate, again, your different life circumstances.
And I like how you said analyze, you know, because it may not be that you ask that question during your interview, but you certainly can ask the question of people who already work there in your personal interviews that you do, that you really do need to do. Just like our recruits, you know, their parents are going to ask other parents, you know. So that's the due diligence that you need to have. And I had the unfortunate situation of having a client who took the AD position, and it appeared as if that everything was family-oriented, but it was after 5. So like you said, if they came here early, you know, and then she was just so stressed out. I was like, girl, you make enough money to have somebody pick your child up, okay? So you can do that, do that, you know. It's the head work. It's how, what would they think? They'll think my mother is a leader, and
right.
Leaders delegate, you know. So don't put that pressure on yourself, you know. And she eventually did leave, you know, and from what I'm understanding, she's in a family-friendly university. And I just think we just need to share those schools that do that so we will stop losing women in the business who think they can't be a mother and an outstanding athletic administrator.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things that my cabinet has heard me say out loud is that, you know, there'll be times where I'm going to leave at 4, 4:30 because I'm going to go home and be a mom. And, you know, I'm not looking for anyone to be on a clock, right? It's about getting our job, our work done. I was here on campus last night until after 8 o'clock. I mean, I think, right, we put, and certainly others put in a lot of time being physically here. So in this new environment as well, we need to be thinking about how is the work getting done? How are we serving our student athletes and our responsibilities, our university and those pieces? But I think it's important for us as leaders to say these things. I had an administrator say to RSWA that it just meant a lot as a mother of 2 young children who wants to be in this industry and wants to continue to grow. That it meant a lot for her to hear that from a female mother athletic director. And so I appreciate you asking the question because it is important. And as we get hemmed up in the work that we're doing, remembering to say these things out loud. We can build. I'm fortunate enough now to be in a position where I can instill my values into our workspace too. And so as other women rise and we get into these roles and as we hold even our male counterparts accountable to opening up to this environment, we got to say these things out loud. So I think it's a great conversation that isn't talked about as much as far as I don't know that I've had many sessions where it's been about how do you balance this with children in a family.
Well, you see, I did not say the word balance, but I didn't use that word.
It's overused.
But I will say this, though. You must manage expectations of others by communicating, and you did that. I may not be here at this time. And so it's not like you just dipped out and where is she? You communicated that, and that's the key. You have to manage expectations. The problem is you try to manage expectations in your head. What they going to think? Da, 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 da. No, you put it out there. You set the parameters. It's called boundaries. And you do what you must do. And so reputation matters. Now, I will say another thing about being inclusive. Because, you know, teaching about parenting, I'm using the word parenting now, you see, because I had a male student athlete to say I have to miss class because my girlfriend has an appointment with the doctor if she's pregnant. No, mm-hmm. He said, we're pregnant. And I was like, and he had a doctor's note. I was like, all right. So we're having parenting conversations. So I choose that word. And so, you know, if we want to be inclusive and feel that way, you know, those are the kind of words to use how to communicate, because it is not a one-way street. Even though, let's be honest, baby girl, baby boy wants mama when it gets sick.
Yes, this is true. I remind my kids all the time, that's fine. You wanna front on me in the moment, but I know you're going to need me here soon, so I'm with you.
Well, I know that you have got work to do, and I just want to say thank you so much for joining us, taking time out, and it's been a pleasure to chat with you in the garden.
Monique, thank you again for all you do, and I will see you here in Philly. Don't forget us. Like I said, south on Broad, west on Market, and we have a seat for you, too, here in our arena.
Oh, bless you. I'm excited now, girl. You don't understand. I love to travel and go see people in the garden and other places. So thank you so much.
All right. You take care. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
And we're going to thank you. And we're going to take a short break here and chat in the garden. And when we return, we'll close out.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Did you know that athletic identity is one of the top three struggles athletes experience, especially in terms of their talent? My name is Zedrilyn Butler, and I am a former Division I NJCAA and NCAA women's basketball player. My book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, is a great resource for parents, coaches, and supporters to equip their college athletes. Pick up your copy at www.payhip.com/theballcode. Together, we can beat athletic identity.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Forrest, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back to the Chat in the Garden. And guess what? 3 days ago, we hit another milestone. Yes, we did. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. We are now 2,600 members inside of Chat in the Garden. Is that not wonderful or not wonderful? Okay. Again, the Chat in the Garden Facebook group came about because the podcast was on the network called, that's 9 years ago. I forgot the name of the group, but it was on the Clark Garrison, and God rest in peace, Clark. So he told me that I need to have a Facebook group. I said, what is that? He said, he started laughing. He said, yeah, you need to have a community so that you can have a group to really speak to. And I was like, oh, okay. So that was 9 years ago. And within 9 years, we have grown to 2,600 people. And I just do what I normally do. That's why when I travel, I try to meet as many of the 2,600 people in person. And that being said, I'm trying to check out my calendar. I believe it's next week I'm out of town. But I'm out of town for what? Chat in the Garden business. Yes, I am. Yes, that's exactly right. The 21st, I think the 22nd and the 23rd, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm attending the Parks and Rec Convention. So if you're listening to me and you're attending, make sure that we connect. Because guess what? Season 7, Dr. Sonia Shaw had the most listened to podcast of the entire season. And now I know why, because she was the president of the Ethnic Minority Society for Parks and Rec. And, you know, if you're a sports management major, this is a place where you know that you can get a job. And so me knowing this, that many, I try to plant seeds, let you know where you can take your talents. And as like administrator, people in Parks and Rec are that. And so I don't say that the college athletic administration, I just say athletic administration. Because guess what? I have a title in Parks and Rec. I work for the city of Hampton, and I work for this Parks and Rec, and I'm a logistics manager. And all it just means is that I use my students to keep the book and keep the clock at basketball tournaments and things of that nature. And I get teams to come to. I am overseeing the girls' high school holiday classic at the Boo Williams in Hampton, Virginia, December 28th and 29th and 30th. So you're a high school basketball coach and you want to bring your team down, we're going to do our very best to accommodate you because the basketball tournament has no fees. You see how I did that little commercial. But, yeah, so I am an athletic administrator that actually has a park and rec position. So I expanded to include, and guess what? By me expanding, I'm going to tell you, she way past anyone that has been on the podcast. So I will be going there, and I have a opportunity to meet the young ladies in Parks and Rec, women of color, who are in the garden, and I'm going to present the award to Sonia, Dr. Sonia Shaw, at the convention. And I'm excited. And I heard that the luncheon is sold out. So, again, I'm going to be in Phoenix next week. And if you live out there, you know, hit me up so I can put you on my calendar of things to say. You know, maybe we just meet at the hotel in the lobby or whatnot. I think it'd be great if you are on a college campus for you to meet these ladies in the other area. Because that's what I do. I actually place my students as internships and practicums and things of that nature. That's my calling in life, is to plant seeds of empowerment to lead others to greatness. And I'm just trying to find all the fertile ground that I can find to put women of color in leadership. Another area that we're expanding to is the YMCA. I had the pleasure of speaking years ago at a YMCA diversity workshop called Emily here in Virginia. I was asked to do a diversity workshop within their, I think it's a day-long activity. And I'm disappointed that I was invited to go again the same week at Parks and Rec, but I'll be flying back in. So, I have two speaking engagements next week, but, hey, I really cannot duplicate myself, so I got to be able to just use these airways to reach as many people as I can. And glad that they find value that we're doing in the garden and they add to it daily. Thus, this is how we're at 2,600 members inside of a Chattanooga garden. That to me is amazing. My mother laughs at me. She said, "And you were worried about getting 500. I'm like, she tells me every time I tell her, we reach another milestone. So I just want to say thank you so very much for being a listener of the podcast and finding value in it. And as always, I just want to thank my engineer, my rock, my eyes, my ears, my hands, who make me look good, is Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions, for helping me keep this going. I really appreciate her. I do want to give a shout out to our intern, Alyssa Pierce. She is a sophomore sports management major at Hampton University, and she's starting her second year as my social media person. So if you are scheduled to be on the podcast, you will get an email from her communicating to you what is required. And so I don't do it alone. It is a team. And like I say, leaders delegate, and I appreciate our team. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show updates and show podcast updates, which I probably will tell you when I'm going to be in Philly. Join Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.